Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Please stand, open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, found in the New Testament. I'm going to begin by reading just one verse. Let me point out that this is a letter that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote to a group of churches in the province of Galatia in the first century. And if you read through this passage of Scripture, which is six chapters long, you're going to see that Paul wrote with an urgency. He wasn't like, hey, if you get a chance, consider this. It was like all in, all out, hey, here's what you need to do. And so we're going to see that, we'll feel that today as we go through this passage. But we're going to begin Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. The text reads, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." I'm going to speak to you under the title, Fourth Quarter Mentality. And Lord, I ask that over these next few moments that you will help us to understand what your word is saying to us as we head into this week in your name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Fourth quarter mentality. Think about that. Fourth quarter. Do you remember the scene in Remember the Titans where Denzel Washington is getting his team ready for the upcoming football season and he's down on the ground with them? He's like, fourth quarter. They're doing their up downs, they're doing their push ups and all that. And he's yelling at them, fourth quarter, to get them ready. It's a fourth quarter mentality. Think about a close game. The fourth quarter is getting ready to begin. The coach calls a timeout and he gets his team together and he's like, who wants this? And there are certain players that take that to heart and they dig deep. They do a gut check and they step up because time is slipping away. It's a now or never mentality. The picture of fourth quarter mentality, I think, is Michael Jordan in the 1997 Western Conference or Eastern Conference final, or maybe the championship finals, and basically it could be anything, but it was basketball. Okay, let me get that straight. Like, it was there in the finals, basketball, and they're playing the Utah Jazz, and it was become known as the flu game because Michael Jordan was so dehydrated and so exhausted, he shouldn't have been playing a game of basketball, but he willed himself to 38 points in order to lead his team to victory. After the game, he was asked about it, and he said, "I played myself almost into passing out in order to win the game." It's fourth quarter mentality. For all of you baseball fans, it's Kirk Gibson, 1988 World Series for the Dodgers. Bottom of the ninth inning, two outs. Kirk Gibson was injured in both legs, hadn't played a moment in that game, comes up to pinch hit, somehow hobbles into the batter's box like the old man that he was, and he hits a two-run homer, walk-off, win game one of the World Series. How about one more? Tim Tebow. Not Tim Tebow in college or in baseball or football professionally, but Tim Tebow in high school. His senior year in high school, he broke his leg during the game. Stays in the game, hobbles to a fourth-quarter touchdown in order to tie the game. It's fourth quarter mentality. It's that I'm not going to give up. I'm throwing out all stops. I'm digging deep. Time's running out. Fourth quarter mentality. It's the concept that the game is on the line. And what I want to say today to all the dads is the family is on the line. It's going to take a fourth quarter mentality. I think that being a dad is the toughest job that I have ever experienced, and it's not because of a slight on my kids. My kids are the most amazing, incredible kids in the world. You'd probably say the same thing about your kids. And then we'd argue, and then we'd fight, you know, and no, I'm joking. My kids are incredible. But here's why it's the toughest job, is because it is a daunting responsibility for a man to embrace the calling to provide, to protect, and to be the spiritual leader that their kids need. And there are so many men in this church that I have seen over the years take that responsibility seriously, and I commend you and I honor you for that. But if we are honest, We have to admit that all of us, and then specifically the dads, that there are moments when we are just tired. You ever had some moments like that when you're just tired? You've worked hard, you're stressed out, you come home and you're just worn out. Maybe your kids are adults and you feel like you've done everything that you could do to help the relationship. You've done everything that you could do. That's the way you feel, and you just feel sometimes worn out. There are moments when we can be distracted. It can happen to any of us and all of us, where maybe the job just becomes more important and too important, maybe more important even than the family. There are times when, if we're not careful, hobbies can become more important than the family. Things that we like to do, whatever it is for you, fill in the blanks. Maybe it's playing or watching sports, or it's building something, or it's exercising, or it's being outside, it's going to the lake, it's hanging out with friends, whatever, whatever, whatever. Here's the thing. When fun things become the main things, we're distracted. And it's very easy to do, and it can happen to any of us. We can also have moments when we are disengaged. We're present, but there is no presence. Dads, you could be coming home, been a long day, stressed out, turn on the TV, you're into it, whatever is on, and you don't notice that mom has literally been tied up, blindfolded, gagged, put into the corner. She's sucking her thumb. She's had enough. And the kids are burning down the house. And you're just like, you don't even know, because we can get disengaged if we aren't careful. Some of you are not responding right now. I think you're disengaged right now. Okay, so bring it in. No. We can get disengaged. We can be living in the home, but not leading the home. Can happen. It's very easy to be tired. It's very easy to be distracted. And it's tempting to disengage at times. But there's something that I want to say to all the dads who are here in this place right now. Something that's very important for you to hear. It's fourth quarter. It's now or never. Not the game is on the line, the family is on the line. There is an all-out strategic attack on the souls and the minds of our kids, whether your kid is 7 or 47. The enemy, the Bible says, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. The enemy is not just going after your neighbor's kids. He's not just going after the pastor's kids. He's going after everyone's kids. There is an all-out attack. There is an attempt by the enemy and by the world to dismantle belief in absolute truth, belief in the deity of Christ, belief in the sacredness of sexuality and gender and purpose. The enemy is going after our kids. And what we need to understand as dads and as people is that it is fourth quarter. There's got to be a fourth quarter mentality that comes out in us. Like, all right, even if I feel like I'm down, even if I feel like I'm behind, I'm still going after this. I'm not going to give up. It's fourth quarter. Our text, I believe, is timely for our world today. And we read just a few moments ago that let us not become weary in doing good. Because isn't it easy to get tired? Isn't it easy to get tired? Isn't it easy to be like, man, I feel like just throwing in the towel? What does Paul the Apostle say? Let us not become weary in doing good. Don't give up. Don't give up. No matter what's happened, don't give up. Keep going. And I believe that in this passage, Paul's given us these urgent, intense, specific instructions. It's almost like the Apostle Paul is putting on his coach hat, and it's Coach Paul this morning. Coach Paul has given us these last-minute instructions. It's like he's pulling out the whiteboard in that timeout as the fourth quarter begins. He's like, all right, boys, we're going to draw something up here. Here's what we need to do. Let's go to verse 1 now of Galatians chapter 6 to see what Coach Paul draws up. He says this, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. First takeaway I want to share with you is this. Never stop fighting for them. Never stop fighting for your kids, whether they're 7, 17, or 47. Never stop fighting for your kids. My son and I turned on the TV just a few days ago and watched as the Atlanta Hawks began the fourth quarter in the NBA playoffs down 18 points. We're thinking, man, is this game over? 18 points. And somehow, some way, the Atlanta Hawks crept back into it and they ended up winning the game. They asked the star player at the end of the game, well, tell us about this. What happened? And he just said this: we never stop fighting. We never stop fighting. I want to challenge you, dads, never stop fighting for your kids. Let me ask you, when your kids let you down or your kids disappoint you, your kids mess up, your kids do something that, like, oh, that is not right or that is not good, do you quickly condemn them? Do you give up on them? Or are you one who seeks to restore them? Look at this passage. If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore. You should help. You should help them get back on the right path. This word restore is used in the New Testament elsewhere, and it's actually used to describe the mending of nets, fixing something that's been broken. In first century secular Greek, this word was also used to describe a doctor who's setting a broken bone. If you've ever had that happen, that does not feel good. I broke my wrist playing basketball years ago and didn't go to urgent care as quickly as I should. I forgot the part about urgent. And so I was like, well, I got this, you know, no big deal. And then it just was hurting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Finally, I go in, and by then I'm just like this. I'm just like walking in, like, but I didn't cry, in case you were thinking that. I didn't cry outside, my face, just inside. I go to the doctor, and he does x-rays. It's broke. I'm like, I could have probably told you that. And then he goes to set it, and so he's bending it back. And I'm just like, I can't stand you. I was like, I do not like that doctor anymore. He's just pulling it back. Got it to where it needed to be, and then he, as you can imagine, casted it, and then it began the healing process. And I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad he did. But that was painful. And whether we are restoring a broken net or restoring a broken bone or we are restoring a broken life, the goal is restoration. The goal is healing. And sometimes that takes tough conversations. If your kids are older, it might take some awkward conversations. It takes a lot of prayer. It can take discipline, accountability, and parameters. Some tough skin. But whatever it takes, it doesn't matter because the goal is restoration. And Paul says, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit, don't stop fighting for them. Go toward them. Help them. What we see in this verse are two keys in order to do that. The first key is the who. Who is doing the restoring? Notice, it's you who live by the Spirit should restore. This is so important for us. This is a challenge for us, not in terms of being perfect, because this is speaking not of perfection, but of direction, but of someone that's given their life to Jesus, and they are being strengthened in the Lord. They're growing in the faith, and they're moving forward, living in the Spirit, and then reaching out to help others. Reaching out to help others. Reminds me of when we fly in an airplane, and you hear the same spiel every time. And they talk about this. If the plane experiences a loss of cabin pressure, right, then the oxygen masks will drop miraculously down. Do you ever wonder if there actually is one up there? It's like a Laffy Taffy drops down. You're like, oh, thanks. But what it's going to miraculously drop down. And then what are the instructions? Please put the oxygen mask over your mouth and nose before assisting others. Now, I used to think that was so dumb when I would hear that because I'm like, if you have someone that you care, if you don't care about them, it's one thing, but if you have someone you care about beside you, your kid, like, are you, they're like, and you're like, hold on a moment. Now, you're probably going to do whatever you got to do, but I think it brings up a great point, is that they want you breathing properly so you can help someone else breathe. And Paul is saying here, it's got to be the ones who are living in the Spirit that are restoring others. We got to be breathing properly. We need to be walking in fellowship with God, walking with the Lord, so that then that vertical relationship is right, which empowers us and equips us to take care of the horizontal relationships around us. Never stop fighting for them. The key is the who, one who lives by the Spirit. So dads, we got to be seeking the Lord and moving forward in our faith in order to help those around us. But the other key that we see here is the how. We're to restore them gently. Most of us dads are not known for being gentle, right? But we're to restore them gently. It's so important when we're helping someone, as the New Living Translation says, helping someone humbly and gently back onto the right path. It's so important for us, for all of us, but specifically for us dads today, to be gentle in that, consider what we would like to hear and how we'd like to hear it if we were on the other side of the table. Being gentle, but also being humble, understanding that we are fellow travelers on this journey. We have a lot of experience with sin, a lot of experience with life mistakes. And so we are, Paul says, to be humble and gentle in how we restore someone and how we help someone back onto the right path. Coaching instruction number one is, don't give up on your kids. Never stop fighting for them. Never stop fighting for them. Side note, dads, as we're restoring, as we're helping our kids on the right path, whether they are a teenager or an adult, is this. Be careful not to place higher expectations on your kids than you place on yourself. It's very easy to do. When we do that, we set our kids and ourselves up for failure. Never stop fighting for them. It's fourth quarter. Secondly, I would say it like this, kneel down to lift up. Coach Paul putting on his coach's hat, telling us in verse 2 this statement, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. My son had his wisdom teeth taken out several days ago, and so those of you that had that surgery, they put you out, and it's not fun and all that stuff, and you walk out with four less teeth, you didn't even know you had them. You know what I'm saying? I never saw those in there, but they're out. That's good. Well, I decided I was going to help him out and do his chores for a few days, and so a few days in, it was like day three, I'm like, Eric, man, my back is so sore from carrying all your chores and carrying you all this time. It was really my way just to encourage him to heal up faster, basically. But this passage is not really talking about like picking up some chores for someone. It's talking about helping someone who is dealing with a crushing weight. It could be a physical weight, a spiritual weight, an emotional weight. It's coming alongside someone and helping to carry the load. I mean, we would all agree that life is hard, really hard at times, every single one of us. The worst thing that we can do as dads is to put our junk and our baggage on top of our kids. Life's already hard for them. But when we pass down our junk and our baggage, oh my goodness, that weight just got a lot heavier. Instead of doing that, we are to come alongside, to kneel down, get the back straight, to kneel down, to get under that at strategic times in our life and just carry them, just hold them, just support them, just be there for them. Just pray for them, show some patience, just encourage them. I'm reminded of the Footprints in the Sand poem, which says this, one night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. You know, as dads, I think especially with our boys, we want to raise them to be tough, to be strong, to be resilient. If they get knocked down, you get back up swinging, right? Oh, you guys don't teach your kids that? But we want them to be strong. Like, let's go. Let's do this. But there are some times when our kids might not need a pep talk. Maybe they just need an arm around the shoulder. There's sometimes when they might need us just to kneel down and lift up. Kneel down and support. Notice that Paul says in the scripture, carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It's love. Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. By carrying someone's burdens, by kneeling down and lifting up, supporting them in that strategic time in their life, we are actually fulfilling what God wants us to fulfill, and that's just love. It's just love, not to get anything in return, but just because we love them. Carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I am a very imperfect father, but one thing that I'm trying to learn is that there are certain moments in our kids' lives when they don't need dad's counsel. They need dad's compassion. There are times when we need to kneel down in those strategic moments in order to lift up. Third takeaway is this. Sow what you want to reap. Sow what you want to reap. Look at this in verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived, Paul wrote. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Look at that. A man reaps what he sows. If you sow apples or wheat or tomatoes, you can expect to reap apples or wheat or tomatoes. This is a God principle that our Creator set into motion at creation. And it's a God principle that cannot be stopped. Interestingly, the word for sow used in this passage denotes the concept that it's sowing of any type of seed, not just one type. It's very broad. It's sowing any type of seed, whether that's apple seeds or character seeds. A man reaps what he sows. So, if you are going to reap what you sow, why not sow what you want to reap? If you're going to reap what you sow, why not sow what you want to reap in your kids? I mean, who wants to reap in their kids anger and negativity and complaining and addictions and offenses? Who wants to reap that? Nobody does. So sow what you want to reap. Intentionally sow into them generosity and encouragement and compassion for others and integrity and purity and strength and masculinity and forgiveness, taking the high road. Sow into them kingdom giving and kingdom living. Sow into them what you want to reap. Another interesting part in this verse is that the tense used in the original Greek is that this is not just a one-time sowing. It is a continual sowing. It's very specifically a continual sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. Not giving up. See, the level of your sowing determines the level of your reaping. You sow a little, you're going to reap a little. You sow a lot, reap a lot. Now, this sowing is not easy. Sowing intentional seeds, godly seeds in people's lives is not easy. It's a challenge. It is can be tiring at times, but it is so worth it. Revelation chapter 2, Jesus commends a church for their labor of love and their toil. Look what he says. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Jesus is commending this church full of men, women who were staying the course and they were continuing on. They were living life in the midst of intense persecution. And Jesus speaks to them. He's like, I see everything that you're doing. I see every moment. I see every tear. I know your deeds. I know your hard work. I know your hard work. This word translated hard work was the picture of a farmer who was soaked with sweat, going out day after day in the hottest time of the year in order to get the crops ready, get the fields ready to plant. And it's the picture of the farmer going down one row of this hard, compacted dirt, trying to get it tilled up, chewed up, ready for planting in the first century, and they're pushing, and it takes them so long to get that first row done, and when they get that first row done, this word depicts that farmer turning around and then doing the next row. And then, as you can imagine, doing the next row, and the next row, and the next row. Strenuous work, hard work. When he's done, he's completely exhausted, he's mentally fatigued, and then he heads home to prepare for the next day. It's the dad who gets up early in the morning to spend some time in the Word of God and to pray and then going to work and working hard and taking the utmost focus and concentration in order to get everything done that needs to get done in order to make it home, in order to go to the kids' game, in order to be home with the rest of the family, in order to pray over the family, in order to go to bed and then start it over the next day. It's that. It's hard work. It is doing everything that you can with an understanding that it is fourth quarter. Like, time is running out. Time is not on our side. Time is running out. They grow up quick. Those of you that have adult kids, you don't stop being mom and dad, right? You don't stop being mom and dad. You continue. It looks different, but you continue to pour into them because it's a fourth quarter mentality. I want to challenge you today to never stop fighting for them. Don't stop fighting for them, ever. Sow what you want to reap, the things you want to see in their life, intentionally sow them into their lives. And when those moments arise, kneel down in order to lift up. Kneel down in order to strategically, carefully, and in a timely fashion, put that arm around them in order to help them during those moments, which might be difficult. And we need God's help. We need God's help. It's easy for me to stand up here and to say I'm an imperfect parent because A, I know that I am, and B, I know that all of you are too. None of us are perfect, right? We need God's help. And it's important for us as parents to understand how this God principle of harvest works, of sowing and reaping. Because there is something else that I haven't talked about but is referenced in the last verse that I'll share from this passage, Galatians 6, verse 9, the one we began with, and that is there is sowing, and then there is waiting, and then there is reaping. No one plants some seed in the ground, and then the next day comes back, and there's this fully blown, flourishing apple tree. It doesn't happen like that. There is sowing, there is waiting and just praying, God, because God is the one that waters. He's the one that fertilizes. God, would you send your rain on this seed so that it will grow, so it will choose you and serve you and follow you. And then there is the reaping. We want things like this, don't we? Just like that. Makes me think of two acronyms. One is ASAP. Everybody knows what that means, as soon as possible. We want to take our problems and our issues and our challenges in the family, and we want to put it into the microwave of prayer, and in a short prayer, God, zap it, and then it's all better. And I didn't even have to do anything. That's not how it works. We want things as soon as possible, but another way to think about this divine law of the harvest is as long as it takes. A-L-A-T, as long as it takes. As long as it takes, I'm going to keep praying and praying and praying and praying. As long as it takes, I'm going to keep sowing and sowing and sowing. I'm going to keep setting that example and setting that example and doing the right things and making the right choices. As long as it takes, I'm going to keep encouraging and loving and being patient as long as it takes. As long as it takes. The law of the harvest is sowing, there's waiting, and there's reaping. And I love that this challenge from Coach Paul in Galatians 6 comes packaged with a promise. Verse 9, Galatians chapter 6. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, here's the promise, at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You're going to reap a harvest. At the proper time, we're going to reap a harvest if you do not give up. Fourth quarter mentality. Time's running out. Time to step up. It's time for me to give it all. The clock's ticking down. This is our moment. As long as it takes, whatever it takes. I mean, that is the mentality that Jesus portrayed when he was here on this earth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I mean, he went all the way to the cross. He finished the work. He finished Father God's will. Hebrews chapter 2 says that he endured the cross, scorning its shame. He endured it. He shed blood. Experienced extreme torture that we have not seen. And he did it all because he loved. He didn't stop. He continued. Here in a few moments, we're going to end this service around the front, but I just want to ask everyone if they would bow their heads and give opportunity in this place for those who are here who have come in not being in right relationship with God. I'm telling you, God loves you so much. He loves you so much. So loves this world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him, Jesus Christ, he would be saved, experience eternal life. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave his life on a cross, died on the cross so that we could experience life and forgiveness. We could not pay the penalty for our sins. We could not do something that would cause us to immediately get right with God through our own merits, our own works. Couldn't happen. Jesus Christ, perfect sacrifice, gave his life for us so that we could be saved. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I just want to give opportunity in this place for those who are here and say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to receive forgiveness of my sins. I want to be in right relationship with God. Would you just lift up a hand right now? I'd love the opportunity to pray with you. Just lift up a hand. Just slip it up right where you're at. Yes, is there anyone else? You slip up a hand. Say, I want to give my life to Jesus today. Hands can go down. I'm going to lead in a prayer. And for those who lifted a hand, I'm going to ask that you just, if this is really your desire, that you would just pray this prayer with me, repeat after me out loud. But also, I'm going to ask all the believers who are in this place to pray with us as well, just giving courage to the ones who are praying to receive Christ. And so this is, there's nothing magical about a prayer. It is about the heart. It is about the faith, placing our faith, and God knows our heart. So, church, would you just pray this with those who are responding and pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I have sinned against you. I am not worthy of you. But I believe in you, that you are the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one who died on the cross, and rose again. And I ask you now to forgive me of all my sin, to come into my life, and to be the Lord of my life from this day forward. Amen. And God, I just pray right now over every person that's here and over those that responded, that you will, as you've planted the seed of the Word of God in their heart, help them to grow in you and to experience more and more of your love and more of the promises that you have for us as we walk under your Lordship. Thank you, God, for doing a work in hearts and in lives today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to say this to Anyone that responded and asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, that we have something called a next steps area right outside these doors. After we're done in the service, as you're leaving, if you just slip that direction, we have someone that will be there, and we have a gift for you. We have something that we'd like to give you to help you in your next steps, and feel free to ask someone that you came with to walk with you back there, and I know that they will in order for you to make that connection. Well, I'd like to ask everyone if you would to please stand. And as you're standing, would all of the dads who are in this place, no matter your age, please come forward? If you're able and willing, would you please come forward to the front? We're just going to gather here at the front, and I want to share a scripture with you before we leave. But for all the dads who are in this place, we honor you. We are so thankful for you. We are so thankful for your dedication to your family and to your kids. Some that are coming up, you have a kid that's born a few weeks ago. Others, you have kids that are maybe even older than me, but you are coming because you're committed. You're committed to continuing the course and having that fourth quarter mentality. And church, as you're out here, would you join me in just applauding these men, thanking God for them? You know, the challenge that we've received from the Word of God today is to have a fourth quarter mentality, to not give up, to keep going, that it's worth it. And I would like dads who are up here, just to lean into this video that we're going to show. These are kids from our church. Some of them might be your kids that are speaking a message that I believe they want you to hear. Let's listen to this.
Don't give up.
Don't give in.
Keep going.
Keep praying.
It's worth it. Keep setting the example.
It's worth it.
Keep seeking Jesus.
Take the next step.
It's worth it.
Keep the faith.
Live with purpose.
Use every moment.
It's worth it.
Keep going.
It's worth it.
Life is short. Run to win the race.
It's worth it.
Depend on Jesus.
Lead our family.
It's worth it.
Keep eternity in focus.
Don't forget what matters.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. Those messages are real, powerful, coming from our kids. Don't give up. Keep going. It's worth it. Don't forget what matters. It's powerful. I want to read one last scripture with you. It's Isaiah chapter 40. It says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths," let's say this, "even dads grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." It's a promise from God that as we put our hope in Him, He renews our strength. We need that. We need that because there are moments when we get tired, distracted, even disengaged. But God promises us strength so that we can keep going, so we can have a fourth quarter mentality. I want to thank you, men, for being dads, for loving your kids, for not giving up on them. And I want to lead in prayer over you and ask church, would you just join with me, maybe extend a hand up front to all of these dads, and let's just pray over each one of them right now. God, we consecrate ourselves to you. Lord, we admit that we aren't perfect, that we've not done everything the way that you've wanted us to do it, and we've not done everything the way that we want to have done it. But Lord, we're so thankful for your grace and your mercy and your kindness, and that you love us even more than we love our families. And Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you today, that today will be a new day. This will be a new week, Lord, that as we are celebrating Father's Day 2021, that this will be even a turning point in our lives where we buckle up, we tie those cleats a little tighter, and we run into the field in order to do what you've called us to do. Lord, I pray that you will help us have a fourth quarter mentality to never stop fighting for our kids no matter what. Lord, that we will be those who kneel down in order to lift up. That we'll be those who are quick to help, quick to lend a helping hand. We are those who have a kind word, a compassionate word, a patient word. Help us, Lord, to be intentional as we go through this week to sow seeds that we want to reap. Oh, God, would you help us to see in your word what you want to see in us, therefore what we can sow into our kids that then you will see in them. We give ourselves to you once again. We commit ourselves to you, God, knowing that without you, we can't do this, that apart from you, we can do nothing. But in you, Lord, all things are possible. So God, bless and strengthen every one of these dads. May they experience your favor on them. May they experience you teaching us, continually teaching us what success really looks like in your eyes. And Lord, may your hand be on us, a fresh anointing to do what you've called us to do, a fresh anointing to run the race and to finish even the race that you've called us to run. Thank you, God, for your word and for your presence. Thank you, God, for people that we are around right now that are walking with us, believing in us, cheering us on as we continue this responsibility to lead and to provide and to protect. Thank you, God, for this call and for your strength to live it out. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 Church, be encouraged, be strengthened, whether you're dad or not, and let's love people, right? Never stop fighting for people. Sowing what we want to reap, kneeling down and lifting some others up, and as we do, we fulfill the law of Christ. So guys, thanks for coming down. Thanks for being dads. Thanks for making a difference. Everyone have a great day as you celebrate Father's Day.
You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.